Puzz Basement. This
Puzz Basement.
That's fine. I feel bad. I had to trample such hard rocking. But I have to tell you, this needs to be a clean one because I forgot to upload a show like even last week. It's so sucky. I did a clean show that needed then to be uploaded. And I did while in studio. I'm going to cross my fingers and pretend I did it while in studio.
No swearing and no excretory humor, correct?
You know, let's not get too mincy about this. You can make a fart joke or three. Just none of the, you know, F-bombs, C-bombs, lick this, suck that, good stuff.
All right.
We can do this one. I got faith in you, Howie. You're listening to Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined today by Howard Flood. The show's website is inpapasbasement.com. You go there. I do some writing on occasion. You can find the two episodes we record of the show per week posted there as well. Look on iTunes for Papa's Basement, not In Papa's Basement. That'll get you jack crap. I don't know how that works exactly, but it does work that way. And subscribe to us. That really is a big help to us getting those iTunes numbers up. And give us a rating and a comment if you can. I'm at Papa's Basement on Twitter and Facebook.com/Papa's Basement on, you guessed it, Facebook. Howard, you're at What the F and Heezy on Twitter.
Always, as always.
Yeah, if you need help spelling that, and I'm sure you do.
What the F and Heezy?
Yeah, tweet at Papa's Basement, because that one's easy to remember. So we are recording this between Christmas and New Year's. Kind of a lull, honestly. It's literally actually December 31st, last day of the year. I am looking to get my, get my Hebrew on. Not the hard J, that sounds so much more hateful. But I'm looking to get out of here and get my chosen people on and try to buy a car on the cheap. Chosen people sounds happy. That doesn't sound racist at all.
This is terrible, man. I'm an honorary Jew now. You got to like watch that stuff.
I was saying it in a good way. I wasn't saying I'm going to get my Jew on and suck at basketball. I was saying I was going to go try to get a deal on a car. Financial matters. They're skilled. Everyone can agree on this.
Hey, listen, David Stern has done an excellent job at running the NBA.
Yeah, exactly. That kills me. You reminded me, I forgot what site I was reading, but it was like Jews in sports. And I'm not kidding. It was like Sandy Koufax. I don't remember number two.
Hank Greenberg.
Number three, they go to Theo Epstein, who was the manager for the Sox at the time. I'm like, that doesn't count.
Why is that three? That's ridiculous.
Doesn't count. I hear Jews in sports. I want to hear about, like, you know, Hank Steinberg, nose tackle.
Yeah.
I don't care how far back you had to go to get him. Yeah. Bring me that.
But even Ryan Braun, man.
He confessed all the juicing.
I don't know. We shouldn't talk sports, but there's still stats, man. Like, don't you want pro athletes to put up superhuman numbers? Get a little HGH
Everyone
up in
does.
That business.
Yeah. Everyone does. The old parody was of the steroid Olympics they had on SNL. And is it Belushi doing a deadlift? Yeah. And, like, both his arms just rip out of the socket. Yeah. So he's like, jutting blood out. It's good. It's a good one. I laugh. I like that. But yeah, it's a slow time of year. It's hard getting motivated for much. I think I was in the studio a week ago. It feels like forever, man, because this is the one time of year most people are out a bunch. Everyone's making their own schedule like me. So I've got everyone up my ass like, hey, you want to eat lunch finally? Do this, do that. What are you writing?
Sorry, you reminded me that I forgot to do something when you were like, hey, everybody's being lazy right now.
I'm haven't you noticed that, though?
Shoot.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to beep that, I guess. Did you, was there a hard T added at the end before you
shoot.
Got
this?
That counts.
All right.
I'll not beep that. Shoot. I like that. That can be our thing. Our thing can take 5 seconds and bring the show to a crashing halt every time we bust it out. You're like me, though. You kind of make your own hours. It's weird during the holidays when everyone else is living like a gypsy like you.
I like it. I actually feel bad for the folks who cannot join in the slovenly life that is the holidays. Because they're the ones who are like,
oh, I got to work on New Year's Day. Got to take it easy on the drinky drink.
Oh, I get what you're saying. The people who are in such an extreme, they're not only off for just New or not off for New Year's Eve. You're saying they're working pretty much all the time. I didn't get out anything of what I wanted to say there. I was going for the people who are actually off like Christmas through New Year's, and you're pitying the people who have to work January 1st, which is rare. I thought most people... The only time I've had to work that, honestly, not as a locksmith, which locks, you know, people get locked out 24/7. It is what it is. But in radio a couple years, I've had to work...
You don't have this problem because you don't really drink, but I've been talking to other people through various points of the 30s. And yeah, like rare now is the one day hangover for those who continue to do foolish things late at night.
Welcome to why I quit.
Yeah. It's actually like I had a guy who's like 37, 38 just tell me that his hangovers now actually bleed over into the third and fourth day even. So
Jesus effing Christ, that is scary.
Yeah.
With me, I've said this a million times on the show, but if this show wasn't about repeating crap to buy time, I don't know what it is about. I got out of drinking heavily because when I was 25, 26, 27, I worked an office job. And you went out for happy hours, and it's how you socialize. It's how you screwed your coworkers.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, we've been flirting for months. We finally had a couple too many, and now we're making out on my car. Stuff right. like that. That was just my move for a while.
Right.
Then I got into radio and I was working nights. I was working Sunday. There was no off day.
Right.
Especially when I first took over this show. You never listened to the first 6 months of this show. God forbid you do. I can't tell you how many times it was strutting in here at 2:59 and we recorded at 3. No show prep. Having to leave because I had the monkey craps halfway through. Hungover as hell. And I thought that was good shtick. No show prep, like just openly saying, well, next week we'll have show prep and laughing and muttering my way through a show. And I realized you have to take it seriously and try. And I, especially once I got out of the 9-to-5 environment, drinking lost all appeal. Like, to quote the late, great Dimebag Darrell, I love being drunk. I just hate being hungover.
Yeah.
And there was no beat in the hangover really for me after a while. And so if I wasn't drinking and laying down that money and there wasn't you know, a little pink at the end of that tunnel, if you will,
yeah,
I tapped out. And I didn't care for it.
Be warned, just like on this side of 30, man, if you find yourself in a situation where there's both a little pink available as well as like some inebriating liquids, one does now impact the other. Like, you can't drink and
perform. Yeah. You're saying I've never been so bad in that department. For me, it's more like, are you out of shape? And more than anything, have you just been treating it like an amusement park? To quote Estelle Costanza, have you just been wailing on it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I could have a lot in my system in my 20s and still, like, do what I wanted to do when I went out. Now I actually have to, like, all right, count how many... How many
jabs? Oh, no. Yeah. There's no BAC limit on that part. I mean, I would have to be like comatose to screw up on that. And I'm not saying that like I'm some mega virile guy. It's just I've never had issues in that department. For me, it's one where you really lifting heavy for whatever reason. If I'm doing like deadlifts and squats, that department is shut down the whole below the belt for a couple days.
Man, you haven't gotten really hammered in a while, have you?
No, been a long time.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, I almost want to just get you out, get you blitzed, and then give you a handy to see if it really works.
I was going to say, then go down on me. Lovely. I'm down with all that. Sure. It sounds like a hell of a revelatory weekend. Maybe I'll sort some things out. But to all the, there's a ton of guys out there. ED is huge with younger guys right now because they've been raised on nothing but nonstop porn. I'm not joking. This is not me pulling it out of nowhere. Younger generation is just like, yeah, I've never seen, you know, my entire concept of sex is two airbrush broads going down on each other. I really don't know how to handle a singular woman who's there in front of me. And not just that, they're spanking it left and right.
Yeah.
And so guess what? Sex doesn't exactly feel like that. It's like an approximation thereof.
Yeah.
But it's not the same deal. And so they're finally getting laid and unable to perform, or if they do, they can't finish, all kinds of fun stuff.
I think the realization that, like, this is also supposed to be an enjoyable activity for another person, so you just can't get yours and go to sleep, that's harder and harder for people to fathom. I mean, that's always been kind of the classic joke about the teenager who has sex for the first time, but
I thought it was they did a new position every 30 seconds. It's like, I don't know, I saw this in the movie too.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. With me, it's like if I'm getting some, here's the challenge. Because first of all, the secret to having a normal sex life is like, really don't take care of yourself all that often.
Wait, what?
Like, don't yank the crank, as it were, much at all. If you really want to be able to just perform normally, at least in my humble opinion, given I'm currently residing in Condom Town at the moment,
right?
I still have my address there, my mailing address. If you want things to come to an end, because for me, with a condom on, unless I've laid off for a couple days, it's like that first 60 seconds, you're like, I could right now, and I would be an ass. Like, I would be selfish. No one would be happy about this except for me.
Right.
And then once you transcend that, like, 1 minute mark, it's all of a sudden like, I don't think I'll get my ability to reach that back.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. Like, I can, at that point, it's like, you might as well have rubbed ice on it. It's just numb. I'm just like, I went from too fast to it ain't going to happen.
But, I mean, that's almost a good thing, because I've noticed, like, I tend to do relationships more than you. If you're in a sexless or bad sex type relationship, the masturbation part kind of spikes a little bit more. And then if you're actually like having to think about, oh man, yeah, I'm just getting paid all the time. Like, I got to save that up. Like, that's a good thing.
Mine, given the living situation I got with my chick right now, it's kind of like a crapshoot. Like, out of nowhere, I might be getting some.
Yeah, see that.
And then out of nowhere, I won't be for a while. So it can get iffy. You know what I mean? It's like, did I hold out at the right time, or did I just torture myself for no reason whatsoever? I don't want to get into specifics. I like the girlfriend. So.
Yeah.
I've learned through several botched discussions of women on air to not go there exactly. There's not much to discuss. It's a happy, merry sex life, but that's pretty much by virtue of where we are in life. It's just like, John didn't get any this week. John got it a couple times this week, and hopefully the weeks he didn't look at porn coincide with the right ones.
And just to revisit the whole porn thing, and you know, having single guys who are like, oh no, I'm not gonna be able to get one up now. It's actually probably the biggest problem now in marriage, from what I've gathered. I mean, we all have an American dialogue now on same sex unions and all that. Do we need to allow them? Are the people who are like claiming that we can't? Are they really going to be able to continue? Like, this is the thing that we talk about the most when we talk about marriage, and it's pointless, because to me, it's just like, really? You guys want to do this?
I like how my sex life segues into guys banging each other. Continue.
But yeah, it's just it's this weird thing where people are making it into a philosophical debate over marriage and like who should be allowed to do it, when the reality is like, if we had a real conversation about marriage in America, like, let's talk about pornography and the impact that it has on married dudes who like get tired of having sex with the same woman over and over again.
Yeah, I think dudes can tap out on that easily.
Yeah.
It's just how we're wired. You have to, I don't know, man. I think you have to care about someone very deeply in order to keep going at it. Because if you're not nuts about them and you're willing to just be like, hey, I'm giving this up in order to have a relationship where we're both monogamous, it's going to wear off. Like, it blows my mind that guys are out there and they're like, well, I'm not going to cheat. I got the hottest thing I've ever had. You'll cheat. Like, getting the hottest thing you've ever had, it doesn't matter. Like, you're still going to want something different.
Yeah.
As Howard Stern once brilliantly said, there's someone out there who's tired of Halle Berry's ass. Like,
your bedpost doesn't get another tally mark.
Yeah.
By going back to Angelina Jolie. Like, I mean, that's just true. I mean,
what if I told you you were eating lobster and you're like, that's great. And you're like, lobster every night for the rest of your life. You would say, lobster's killer. And 3 weeks in, you would be looking, you would sever your pinky so that you could eat a bag of McDonald's fries instead of that lobster.
Yeah.
And that's just it. It can't be you're still walking in like, I want all the foods that I ever wanted. You have to just be like, this is what I'm eating the rest of my life for a different reason. Maybe your cholesterol is bad in this, in which case you shouldn't be eating so much shellfish in this metaphor. We're off kilter and this is low energy. I'm totally brooding about the fact I'm going to have to buy a car as soon as I check out of this, or at least look into it.
Dude, like, those deals go into January, so don't worry about it. Like, they're not going to press you into buying a car in the last day of the year because tomorrow suddenly it's going to be full price for all, like, the leftovers from 2013.
I feel like such a dunce because if we're discussing it, my car I bought for about $10K back in 09. It was a 2007 Elantra. It's down to $6K right now. Not a lot of depreciation.
Right.
If I'm really getting down to it. A K a year is not bad. And I bought the Elantra to begin with because at 2 years old, it lost something like $7K off of the sticker value.
Yeah.
It was insane. I was like, how the hell did this happen?
Yeah, they're starting to retain value better. I think they bought it at the right time.
They were high quality, but they still sank like a damn stone off the lot.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that Toyota's fallen off, Honda's fallen off, and the market's starting to realize that Hyundai might be one of the better buys just based on bang for the buck.
Yeah, so. I think Consumer Reports has put it above even the Civic lately.
Elantra. I mean, as soon as they started assembling Hondas in the United States, you saw a decline in quality. So
we are lazy bastards. But I have that to look forward to because... At 6K, I've got on the horizon, I want to say brakes, front rotors need to get done, rear brakes and rotors. I've shot the front tires after like maybe 30,000 miles because apparently I drive like an ass.
Yeah.
Which is also why the brakes are going left and right. I just enjoy my aggressive driving apparently. I kind of want to wash my hands of it, but at the same time, I'm walking into this situation. I'm just like, what are you going to give me off? I think I know what the Honda LX DX. I don't even know the lines that well. I feel uneducated. After we do a show, especially we did the Papa's Football podcast earlier, I just want to relax. Like, the last thing I want to do is go into the combat. Really, combat.
You're still stuck in 20th century car buying, man. It's kind of funny because when I got my Elantra new, I mean, I found out MSRP online and started emailing dealers to see what, like, I could get. You know, the off-the-lot price. So get tax tag, title, everything. Like, what's the out-the-door price? They'll email it to you. Like, the economy is still terrible. So any salesperson is basically just having to tell you what it is to get you in the door. And they're not going to, like, sucker you in necessarily and raise the price. The only trick that I had pulled on me was the price they gave me was for a car that wasn't on the lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just one of those things where it's like, well, you don't have the one I wanted, and you're trying to get me to buy one that's 2,000 more. So I'm not
2,000 more, a mere 2,000 more.
So I'm just
I
like
how they tried to slide that past you.
But it wasn't that they like suddenly changed the price on the car that I'd asked the quote for. They were like, oh, that's gone now. Someone bought it since you got the quote. Really?
Yeah, go to hell. That's a crock. Really? That's a crock and a half.
All right.
That's
well,
so bush league.
Yeah, no, because they were like, well, you have to get the one with the sunroof now. I'm like.
Oh, do I? Yeah. No, by the way, you're doing nothing to assuage my fears of car buying. I did the new thing. I had a Focus back in 07. I totaled that in 09. And then I bought this Elantra off a dude on Craigslist.
Yeah.
And I got to say, compared to buying the new car, this was awesome. Buying a used car, I literally took a cashier's check, gave it to him. We went to my bank, cashed it in front of him. I saw fat stacks, Lil Wayne stacks counted out in front of me. That alone was almost worth the price of admission. It was almost worth $10K to see $10K counted out in front of you. But I don't... My dream for this thing was getting to drive it into the damn ground. But with all the issues on the horizon all of a sudden, it's like, is it really worth that? If I've got another 600... This is 600 in repairs if I do it by my own hand.
It just bothers me that you're letting them trick you into thinking that the only possible awesome deal you can get is between now and midnight tonight.
Oh, they're not. My duncy mom is tricking me into that. That, and I kind of have a slow afternoon, so I'm slotting this in the middle of it.
I'm just saying you don't have to walk off the lot today with a...
I guess. I mean, Kelly Blue Book apparently says today is the best day and up through the second is okay. Like, they're trying to get it done by the weekend kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'd say, like, you got a couple more days. You might find one today that you really like. But, yeah, man, don't fall into this deal's not going to be here tomorrow.
Well, I'm not. Trust me. I get a rod for crapping on salesmen. I know Mark Mizla is a friend of the show. I think he's still in sales, though. I think Josh Burns is in medical sales. I don't think their salesmanship is quite as sleazy. But, like, low-level salesmen, there's nothing better than D-teasing those guys and then just walking away and being like, I was playing. I don't even need this car.
Dude, you have not been to a car dealership in recent years. Like,
I went was 07, and I'm not joking. If you're like, why does John deal in stereotypes? My old Jewish neighbor, Ruth, God rest her soul. She's now in lesbian heaven. What? She was gay.
Why do they have a separate heaven?
I don't make the rules. I just abide by them. So Ruth and lesbian Jewish heaven now. And she, not only did my mom, was she like, hey, that lady's a pit bull, she's Jewish, bring her along for haggling. Ruth relished that role. She was like, I'm a Jewish pit bull, I'm great at haggling. I bring Ruth in. She does nothing for me, by the way. She's pretty much like, I got you the no-stick paint coat or whatever the hell for a mere extra $200. I'm like, I didn't even need that.
Yeah.
So I was really happy where years later I had the balls to just do my own stuff and take care of it. It wasn't a pleasant time, though, getting that new car. It was like dealing with their little BS tactics, making you wait here and there.
Can we name the dealership by name? Which one was it?
Yeah, I got nothing to hide.
Who was it? Was it like, Coons?
It was whoever the hell the Ford dealership in Fairfax is.
Oh, that's Ted Britt.
Ted Britt. Yeah, it was Ted Britt Ford.
I'm not a big fan of Ford.
I'm certainly not now that I'm an adult and buying my own vehicles. My dad, for whatever reason, bought Fords left and right, and they've all died. I mean,
my family was big on buying American for a long time, too.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's just, it mathematically doesn't make sense. Yeah, at this point, like, I want to buy an American car, but because it has to compete. It has to compete.
Well, apparently, if you want your mind blown, the Focus, I was reading a bunch on Kelly Blue Book. The Focus is considered up there with the Mazda 3 in terms of like sportiest rides in that class.
Yeah, like so when you get below the Elantra, because it's what, still the Fusion is the Ford version of the Elantra?
That's not, it's the Focus, I think.
The Focus is like, I want to say it's like a rung below, but it's like it's the smaller size sedan. There's like one below.
To me, the Focus Fusion is smaller would than be the, Fusion. The Accent.
I don't remember the accent. I think you're getting mixed. The Focus is smaller than the Fusion.
Yeah.
Accent is smaller than the Elantra. So the Focus and the
what
Accent
the hell's
are,
the? I don't care if we're, this is a horrible show. This is what we're discussing. The Elantra is, I thought, like the Civic equivalent, right? Or I'm thinking the Honda Accord. Isn't that the Hyundai Accent?
No, Accent smaller. It's the Sonata. That's the
Sonata. Okay, that's what I'm thinking of. Sonata, so is the Accord. Sonata, the Fusion.
Well, no, because the Fusion sells for around the same price as the Elantra. Mm. I don't know what Ford has above it. It might be the Crown Vic that they like are still trying to promote.
Is around?
I don't know, but whatever replaced that, that's going to be like the same class, I guess, as the. That's what people are competing for with the Civic or not the Accord. I don't know. But no, like when I was buying, when I went out and bought my Elantra, I looked at the Ford Fusion, and it's comparable size, comparable class, and even the price tag is the same or very close to.
Mm-hmm.
But nah, man, it's a 3-year warranty versus 10, and like it's 36,000 miles. I had 40,000 miles on my car in 15 months, so like it was not a good deal for me.
All I know is I don't care about car elegance. I want an okay ride. I want to be able to ride that bitch into the ground. So I'm actually, to be honest, not happy with how quickly my Hyundai seems to kill its tires and brakes. I'm guessing I am partially responsible for that. But, yeah. You know, it's had other crap act up on it that hasn't really driven home the fact that you can put $200,000 on a Hyundai to me. I'm hoping that they've changed their tune since and made them even more reliable. Because I like the Elantra overall. I've had a way better time with that than the Focus. Like,
right.
That Focus... I know they've done a redesign since, but the 07-ish micro machine looking Focuses, they got horrible mileage for their size.
Yeah.
They were like 23 and 28. Like, how does that little turd get 28 on a highway? It's nothing.
Nah, it's bad. And then, you know, Ford is still probably like one of the better baseline auto manufacturers in the U.S. because Dodge, I'm not a big fan of Dodge. I mean,
I don't even acknowledge that brand exists. I couldn't Dodge. I don't think of them.
Yeah. No, they're not good. They're the people who brought you the Neon are basically just counting on the Hemi to like get them to sell cars to people who want a little bit of power till the car breaks down.
Yeah, I was going to say Dodge sells cars to like short dicks who want to act like they got some juice between their legs. That's it.
I mean, I gotta
admit,
you
got like, what, the 40K, 50K Charger or whatever?
I kind of want to drive a Charger, man.
Whatever. it's just crap. You think this is elegant and it isn't.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. We should not talk about you buying a car.
No, we can move past. Right. Man. We can definitely go to all the Christmas stuff we had to do.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Christmas was all right. How about you?
Not bad. I'm an adult, so I didn't really get any gifts I wanted. But that's how it goes. You kind of, for me, I now, not to sound completely trite, it's better to get people presents. It's now just a time of tension. Christmas is never happy. It's never, dude, I just got to wake up tomorrow and I'm waking up to this. Because I'm going to wake up to crap.
Right.
Especially like the year. Once in a while, I'll be like, you know what? I could use this video game. And that's about the extent of what I'm going to get at this age.
Right.
Because you can't even ask for like the balls on me to ask for, well, I'm interested in an Xbox One, which frankly I would be kind of. Right. But to be like, hey, mom, buy me a $500 video game system. What the F?
Yeah.
Like when you're a kid, you're like, get me the Super Nintendo. One, you're a kid. You don't know any better. Two, it was for you and your brother. And three, it was $200. $500 for a game system? The PS4 is the affordable one at $400? What the?
No.
Oh, I almost dropped one there. What the hell, man? The cheapest is the Wii U, which I think is still at like $250 for the cheap model. That ain't good.
Kids are expensive, man. Keep that in mind.
But I mean, only if you are keeping up with the latest trends, which you have to. Like, I can only imagine what parents felt this year with all these gadgets, the video games coming out. Because were you were one of those weirdos who didn't get Super Nintendo like for Christmas in 91, did you? Or was it 90?
I was a Genesis user.
I know you're a Genesis, but did you have one back then? Or were you one of those like hobo pieces of crap who like their parents were like, hey, don't buy Super Mario for $200. You could have Sonic for $100.
No, I just... I enjoyed video games. Like, we did get in my household an 8-bit pretty relatively like early on in the trend.
Oh, I got the NES like a year before my Super Nintendo. Like, that was a lot of chiseling of my parents to get that Nintendo in.
See, I had two older sisters. Like, you were the oldest. So for you, I think your parents were probably still waffling on like, are you guys too young? Whereas for like my sisters, they were definitely old enough for NES. So we had that, and they were never excited about gaming, so none of us really like pushed for video games. I just never really bought into the, like, you have to have the latest new toy for your kids. Like, that's
you
weird.
You were just so eons ahead of me. I was telling my chick, actually, about you the other day. I was like, I remember I was in high school, and I just found a copy of, like, Fleetwood Mac's Rumors on your desk. I was like, how deep is this dude? Like, I'm listening to Pungent Stench and Cannibal Corpse and... My depth extends to KMFDM at this age. No. And you're like Fleetwood Mac and Thelonious Monk.
Oh, dude. Some, like, the potheads I would hang out with would be so mad at me when I was the one driving around as we would get stoned in high school. Because they're like, oh, no. Howard's creepy jazz again.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen to Ornette Coleman.
Now they're thanking you. They got something deep they can bust out on their friends.
No, they're just like, that guy was weird. I don't want to listen to him. I'm still sad that pop music doesn't sound like Ornette Coleman's. Like, to me, I'm just like, what happened to pop music? Like, this is very sad to me. Like, why can't we make music like this?
I just didn't think I'd ever hear Ornette Coleman, a name probably I haven't heard since the last time we talked about this.
Nobody else knows? Yeah, it's just me. Like, telling you, gotta listen, John. You gotta listen. It's like, dude.
Ornette effing Coleman.
Never going to let me on the show again.
But yeah, that was... No, so I got very little. Like, my mom had these two really big boxes, actually, that were out a couple days before Christmas. I'm like, oh, that's pretty baller. And we opened them, and it was like a replacement chair for my room. And then my brother had like a filing cabinet. And of course, my brother lives to S on my mom. I mean, I'm not saying it's right or even funny. It's just, I'm that's putting it out there.
Yeah, he's the youngest bro.
Yeah.
Youngest bro's job.
He is number one son.
Mm.
So he's just like, I already have a filing cabinet. And then with me in the chair, I'm like, "Hey, when did we say I needed a chair?" She's like, well, your current one looks ragged. And I'm like, that's because the cats are demolishing it, which they're just going to do to this. So let's keep the one that's getting demolished currently. It's fine. And then eventually I think we settled on he'll get the chair. And she's like, well, that means you'll take the cabinet. And everything worked out. I'm like, whoa, who said I needed a damn cabinet? My room's the size of a hamster's aquarium. I can't fit that crap in there. And who needs a? I have a thing called a computer. All of my written material goes there. I don't know why she's still buying cabinets. She's going to get me like a slide rule next. A TI-81 calculator. For those math problems you love to do. I got no idea. So I got her some gifts. The chick got me some okay stuff. Like, I was happy with the gifts I got from her. But again, it's like from a significant other, you almost buy these little items that you just want to be a hit. But nothing recaptures the magic of like when you're a kid, you got those two or three video games you wanted. All of my happy memories are video game related. That's it. Just the year I got the Super Nintendo, the year I got the Nintendo, the year I got like F-Zero plus Simon's Quest. You know, it's just all these good games.
I mean, you know me, I'm one of these folks who Christmas is always more stressful because like everybody tells me I'm always hard to buy for, first off, because there's not really a lot of stuff I want. And when I do need something, I go get it. So whenever these like,
you're like
times,
my brother, yeah,
I'm very difficult to buy a gift for, number one, but I'm that way about having stuff anyway. So it becomes very stressful for me when I try to think of like, what do the people in my life want? Because I don't know how to think about consumerism sometimes. So,
yeah, well, like, my bro, I thought I got a can't miss. My mom was like, he likes Harris Teeter. So I went to Harris Teeter. I'm like, put $75 on a gift card.
Yeah.
And then I come back and he's just like withholding what I think is a boring but surefire gift. There's also like lube and tinfoil and butter on the receipt. It's literally my mom setting me up for shopping ingredients. And John needs lube to get through the holidays.
Oh, my gosh.
I always buy my Astroglide at Harris Teeter now. I don't know why. Because I can get, like, whatever, a chocolate milk and my Joy juice in one fell swoop. I haven't purchased Astroglide outside of Teeter in, like, a year. I don't. They must think I'm a pervert at my local Harris
Teeter.
Well,
you are a pervert.
I emerge every 3 months to purchase a big bottle of Astroglide.
They must think I'm a pervert. Yeah. They just know
they
you.
They must correctly think. They must correctly ascertain from my shopping patterns that I am the pervert they think I am. So I walk in with this card, and his first words are like, I don't really shop there anymore. I'm like, why did I buy this? So then I try to return the card today. They're like, we don't take gift cards back. So John's got a lot of buying subs and Astroglide in his future.
Yeah, well, you can use that. What's the big deal?
I don't really go to Harris Teeter myself. If I do, it's for like $5 worth of sushi.
Jeez, I'll give you 2-1 on it.
Maybe. I might take that. I don't
wow.
know.
That's such a dick move on my part, man. No,
I might. I don't know. I don't know.
That's not right. I can't do that.
You are weak. And I guess we all spent the holidays listening to that horrible My Kind of Holiday song in the Target commercials.
Which
I heard
no.
nonstop until it penetrated my skull because it sounds exactly like that I Love It, I Don't Care song or whatever. Who the hell does that? Icona Pop. It could be Icona Pop doing it. I'll play it.
Yeah,
here.
It's not cool.
Listen to this is the Icona Pop song, I Don't Care. I know it from a Girls or whatever because I'm a Mo and I watch Girls now. There, that's out. After all my Lena Dunham bashing, which you threw me under the bus on that, you tweeted her as me. Saying, you're brilliant, when you took over one of the Twitter accounts the other day. Guess what? I think she is pretty good. There's good. The horrible truth. So we got this. Everyone's heard this song.
Good song. I don't care. I love it. Right. I don't care.
So we got that. Yeah, I think I don't know anything about popular music. I know that song. So then all of a sudden, we got this crap playing at Christmas. Tell me if you don't notice a small similarity. The very. I love it. Which, now you're listening, we'll get through it. First of all, it's the same damn song. Yeah. There's no difference. It literally starts, I love it.
Yeah.
I could be the same act. I don't really know.
No,
if they don't,
it's a total ripoff by a jingle writer.
Okay.
It's very uncreative. It's the worst possible thing that any artist can do.
Well, here, oh yeah, this is literally someone in LA who's just like, I finally have money to pay for the heat. Why they need heat in LA, I don't know.
No, the person who wrote that like is a professional jingle writer, and what they did is they just went to something on regular pop radio LA, and yeah, they just like, well, this seems to be what little girls like.
The kids are into this.
Yeah.
So we're playing it. Here's what got to me. the lyrics. Now, you're not going to get deep lyrics. This isn't Dark Side of the Moon. You're not going to find that in a commercial. But listen to it and tell me where you think this is going. All right. Thank you, Grandma, for the dolls. That makes sense. There's a little kid. She's clutching Grandma's dolls. And if you want to think I'm a racist, I didn't mention she's an Asian kid until just now, so I could get my points for not being racist. Maybe half Asian.
Well, Target's about to be racist for the next line.
Okay, yeah, here it comes. I love it. I'm ninja kicking through the halls. Well, first of all, yeah, then they have the Asian kid performing karate moves, so it's a little racist.
Racist. I'll give you that. As a racist.
If we're going to play the PC card, it's racist. What, I can never show a black person eating a watermelon on TV again. You know, after a while, you transcend racism.
Actually,
it becomes racist to not show the Asian kid performing karate.
My favorite is that Subway commercial where the black guy is a sub and then his white coworker steals it from him. Because instantly my immediate reaction is, because they're going back and forth trying to steal the stuff. I'm like, what if it had been a white guy holding the sub and the black guy took it from him?
They can't show it on a commercial.
They can't show that.
Same way in a commercial, if you go to Home Depot, it can never be like the clueless black homeowner asking the white knowledgeable employee for like, well, this is what you need to do. And the black guy's like, brr, you know, touching this, smack the side of his head like, oh, I staple gunned my balls to the antenna. I thought that would work from our TV reception. This is 1984, apparently. So will Ninja kick you down the halls? At what point do you, as a jingle writer, think to yourself, everyone's going to hear Ninja kick you in the balls because that's what that line is dying to be? At what point, 3 a.m. before the deadline, are you just like, screw it, putting it out there, Ninja kick you in the balls, we all hear it, we all know it's going that way. And I'm just going to pretend it's ninja kick you down the hall. Like, what? That doesn't... How potent is this kid? Is this Wolverine? Is this the Man of Steel kicking Pa Kent down the farm? Listen again. I like the bass at the beginning. Ninja kick you in the balls. That's it. That's what that line was meant to be. And this ad has been playing all of December. All of it.
I kind of want that Icona Pop group to sue Target just for
That'd
on
be
principle.
Great. I think they're Swedish.
It's
or
way
some
too
crap.
Close. It's way too close for my taste.
They got to be like massively anti-capitalist, being from Sweden.
Because everybody rips off everybody else. I understand that, but like that's weak. That's just that they didn't even try to mask that they were like doing a song in the same style. It's the same
literally
words.
Like the second comment on YouTube. Is it sounds like that Icona Pop song. Is this them? To which I'm like, I don't know. Like, I was trying to figure out who did it. You're 100% right. It has to be some jingle, right?
You know who's badass? Tom Waits. Tom Waits will go after people who try to make ads that sound like him.
Does he have, like, songs that sell, though?
He's more popular in Europe, actually.
Oh, he's one of those things.
Yeah. So he's done this in Europe. He's done it in California as well, because I think in California he's pretty popular. So he's actually gone after companies that, instead of hiring him, hire somebody who basically kind of sounds like him and does a similar jingle in the style of Tom Waits. I have no idea who's buying things because of Tom Waits' voice.
I was going to say, that's some niche stuff.
I mean, maybe
that's
it's
like
smoking
Slayer
products.
Chasing someone.
But yeah, no, he's actually pioneered some of the case law. That relates to, hey, you can't rip off my voice in order to like sell your crappy product.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
and by
I hope that
I mean only mildly interesting, but still interesting.
Hey, just wait till
not interesting enough to segue into any damn thing, but
now you know, just in the event there's a commercial that simulates like this witty banter in front of two microphones involving
We can pull a Howard Stern. I invented this, Robin. Nice impression, by the way. Literally just a man saying the name Robin, and suddenly it's Howard Stern. Oh, God. I wanted to play some Lou Holtz clips, too, just to make fun of his, like, denture sliding palate voice. Man. He sounds like Leonard Nimoy now. Just the sliding voice. It's so deliberate. Did he have a stroke or something, or is he just really old?
He's really old, man. He's in his 80s.
I was, like, in my room just chilling out, looking at the computer. Not saying if it was porn, it was. And I had that on the background. Like, I just didn't flip off ESPN. Like, I have on ESPN, I was watching Christ knows what bowl game. I don't know, the Nacho Bowl, Tostitos, what
A holiday
Chick-fil-A bowl.
There's a holiday bowl. There was the Alamo Bowl yesterday.
The 11:30 p.m. bowl. Whatever was on then.
Yeah.
And I'm like watching it, and then I'm just like, you know what? Porn's better than this. Porn's much better than this. But I didn't care to turn off the ESPN. So I'm just like looking at the porn, but the ESPN is on in the background. And they cut to halftime, and I hear like normal broadcaster voices, and then it just sounds like this reanimated corpse.
That's awful.
I'm like, is that goddamn Lou Holtz? Is that what he's become lately? And apparently he has. Like, yeah. He's just degrading by the year. Has he sounded insanely worse lately or what?
I mean, when you listen to what he's talking about, he's definitely there mentally.
I'm not saying he isn't, but like...
But yeah, no, you hear him talk.
I think he's got loose dentures. Yeah. I think he has like a stroke tongue. I'm not really sure.
He's always had that thick Southern accent, so it just doesn't help that he probably doesn't have any teeth anymore.
Something's weird, man. I swear to Christ that there's a real tooth in Lou Holtz's head. I'll give you a fiver. Like, he's got those George Washington hippo bone pine tree dentures, whatever the hell they're made out of.
Oh, man.
That went nowhere, too.
Yeah, no, that was weird. I was like, why are we talking about Lou Holtz?
No, it was enough to get me to stop looking at porn. Like, because every other guy, I'm just like, yeah, announcer voice. And then I'm just like, what the F? And I turned around. I'm just like, jaw on the floor the whole time. Lou Holtz is limping his way through whatever he's trying to say as it's making its way through his old man mush mouth.
I mean, Lee Corso is the one who had a stroke on ESPN. What's, and they still let him on TV, too.
Really?
Yeah.
They gave him the Dick Clark?
It's not that bad.
Where we have to pretend everything's okay?
But initially, when he came back, he did come back too early. And so, like, I do wonder about how long he's going to be able to stay on and not have it be pathetic. So, because, you know, it's just...
I got sick of the Dick Clark thing, especially that first year back where it's like, whoa, we have to pretend he's on. He wasn't even counting. He was like, 20, 19... And then Ryan Seacrest in the background had to give the right count.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just like, this is not a charity case here. You know what I mean? Like, everybody should have older people in their lives that they, like, try to help because they're more of them than ever. But, yeah.
The guy's like America's teenager or whatever. Well, guess what? Teenagers, I know we're getting morbidly obese younger, but they're not having strokes yet. That was just silence. Right there.
No, I'm just... that was
pretty rough, man. I don't know.
But no, I'm happy he's dead, so I don't have Dick Clark darkening my New Year's Eve this year.
It was a total buzzkill. Yeah, it's just like you're making me feel guilty at a time of year where...
I'm supposed to be happy. I'm not supposed to strut into the new year contemplating my mortality. Like, wow, this is the way of all flesh. 9, 8, 7. No, that's horrible.
If he was still
like, it's Fergie. I don't want to hear him mention pop figures and ugh.
Yeah, no, like
anything,
I mean,
coming out of his mouth sounded cursed.
I think you're actually doing those folks a disservice by leaving him on television, because then that becomes the final image that we have.
Yeah.
So.
Like, he needed to have a stroke and then just get shut away in the Hollywood Hills, and we have happy memories of him. And, like, yeah. Once in a while, the Enquirer takes a picture of the right half of his body walking his dog, and that's it.
Because he's not like, a close relative. He's not, like, somebody that, like, any of us know. He's just the vehicle for, like, everybody else's good time. That was his job.
Yeah.
I don't have a personal relationship with the guy, so for him to not actually be qualified to do his job anymore, most people literally get put out to pasture in that situation from their jobs. So,
and I guess they couldn't, because in this day and age, people would be like, oh, it's so unfair. They fired Dick Clark from
his
New
Year's
gig.
Who would say that?
A lot of pusses out there.
Let me tell you.
Throw it out there.
It's the baby boomers, because I think the baby boomers are the ones who still tuned in for that because they need that reminder that they themselves are just going down.
My brother and I just like merciless. Oh, we were like rabid dogs crapping on that.
It's just, but like everybody who grew up watching him, they're all getting old too, man. So like for them, it's just their version of like remembering that they're not too far behind Dick.
I don't know why you'd want to watch that then. Why do I want to see a catalog of like fellow 32-year-olds that died in auto accidents or something? Or like this one managed to have a weird kidney cancer. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to be reminded I'm going to croak. I'm going to live forever.
So what are you doing then tonight?
hanging out with the chick. Thank God she's a homebody like me. So like at 10 p.m., I'm going over there and I don't know what I'm going to do. Not much of anything. Eat some food, maybe.
Hopefully you at least make it to midnight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, maybe make it to midnight, see the ball drop, pass out a half hour after that.
Is she going to see your ball drop? Hey.
No.
All right.
We can definitively say that right now. No. Even if it weren't for the living situations at our folks' places, to quote Anchorman, she's, well, paraphrase Anchorman, she's bear bait at the moment. Hear that, Ron Bears? Now you're putting the whole station at risk. So, yeah. There'll be no antics in that department.
Going to a couple parties myself. I got a few invites from folks, so I'm just trying to string together, bouncing from one house to another.
Can you handle Rich Killiam for me?
No.
Why not? Why can't you babysit Rich Killiam for me?
Because he wants to go out.
Rich is back in the country. Well, he doesn't want to go out. He wants to be with someone at home because he's like broke and he needs to drink. Or he wants to socialize. I don't know which.
I got a lady too, man. I don't need no third wheel like clogging my backseat when I'm trying to get paid.
Thank you for kind of, yeah. He was really riding my ass to hang out. And I just wanted to be like, it's New Year's. I'm with my chick. Like,
there's a
how many
time
times do I have to break this down for you?
There's a time and place to be a third wheel. I enjoy having friends out. Like, it doesn't, I'm not one of those folks who gets weird when it's just like me, my girl, and a friend. New Year's is one of the days that I make an exception from that rule.
Yeah,
where
it's like bringing them along for the anniversary.
Yeah, it really is.
What are you going to do? Put on a butler's coat and bring us food? That's about it.
I mean, if, like, I take a friend, like, I give them a ride if, like, they knew where I was going. Like, we're all friends with the same people. Mm-hmm. And, like, they're just as likely to get a ride from somebody else. But I ain't taking somebody who's never, like, met all these folks. Come on.
I'm trying to pawn him off on Jerry and Carly tonight. I feel bad he's not doing anything.
Oh, they're going to bed so early.
That's what I figured.
She's not going to be awake at midnight.
I like Richie. I got nothing for him today or tonight. Tomorrow I can do something with him, but he's desperate to get out tonight.
Jeez. He should hit a bar.
I don't know. Yeah, do whatever. If you're hell-bent on socializing, there are, yeah, like you said, bars, establishments where people drink and do things together.
I mean, it would have been better.
I'm not big on either. Like living in a vacuum sober.
If I had known he was here, I would have introduced him to some folks who are doing a New Year's party at the Getaway in D.C. Are you posting this today? I guess I can pimp it out for one of my friends who's running a bar. Getaway D.C., Columbia Heights. They're open for one last night. This is their final night open. It's $40. I think it's all you can drink. And then like they're going out with a bang.
On the second. So, sorry, Getaway D.C.
Their doors will be closed by then.
Yeah.
But no, like that was the offer I had that I can't do because I'm going on house parties instead. It's just not worth $40 to show up for an hour. So
sorry, I'm reading the article now with Dwayne Wade's baby mama. I figured we'd wrap up with that. The new one. If you haven't heard the story, Dwayne Wade, star Miami Heat player. I mean, there's other bigger cogs on that team. I think we can all agree there.
He's got all the baby mama drama though.
Yeah, Dwayne is the guy in the spotlight right now because apparently I wasn't paying attention to this. How long has it been rumored that he had a kid out of wedlock?
I don't know. I haven't really been following that rumored story.
He's not really married right now, but he's engaged, which is as good as married. Once a ring has been exchanged, you can't exactly be humping around. I mean, the humping around ends when you've had the whole like we're together conversation technically, but then you're kind of moving up the totem pole of when it's less and less and less acceptable.
The thing is, like, when he became engaged recently to Gabrielle Union,
yeah,
who is bumping, that is a nice chick.
You know who I really wanted to screw? The black broad from the Madea movie. Not Madea. I know that's a man. But the black teacher chick.
Did you bother to, like, get her name?
It's something stupid, like Kiko or Tico or some crap. Let me look it up. And that's not me being, like, sassy and making fun of black things again. She has a weird name. Hold on, let me punch it up. Medea's.
She's a little too thin, man. That's one thing I'll say about that girl.
Wiry.
Yeah.
I like it. Medea Christmas. Hold on. Damn it. Wikipedia, where are you?
But yeah, no, like D Wade disclosed.
I liked her, except her eyebrows weirded me out.
D Wade definitely disclosed that he just had a kid.
Tika. Tika Sumpter. All right. Told you something funky. Oh, she's fine. Oh, Tika Sumpter. I like.
That's why she ended up with a white guy in that movie.
Why? To break my heart further, knowing she was this close? This close that she plays for my team? Yeah, so D. Wade, apparently you said on a break with Gabrielle Union.
That's the story, yeah. So
at the time,
they decided to be off. They were not in a relationship when he got this other girl, Preggers.
But they were in a relationship prior to it, right?
And after.
Yeah. So literally, they're trying to just say at the time he was on a break. Now, the break was a concept introduced to me by friends. Like, Seinfeld was huge on, you know, oh, this is the coffee cake, the, you know.
Yeah.
That was the one time friends managed to capture Seinfeld's magic for this is the break. And we were on a break, I guess, technically. But still, break was introduced to our vernacular. Because Ross was on a break with Rachel, and he cheated on her. Even though he looked like Ross and she looked like Rachel.
Mm.
Now, I've never been on a break. Have you? It sounds okay. You get to go back to your broad, but cheat a little.
Not a
bad gig.
What I've heard is, like, historically, one thing that people used to recommend is you need some time apart before you get engaged. But that idea did not include going out and
impregnating,
getting some strange. Yeah, that's not
the time
part
apart
of the
was probably with your boys.
It's supposed to just be like, hey, you know, marriage is like the rest of your life. If, like, you follow by what the traditional, like, vows are and what they imply, like, this is potentially just taking you off the market forever. So you should think about that because that's a big deal.
That's not a bad idea, honestly.
Yeah. Like,
I don't get how Gabrielle Union is supposed to eat that S sandwich. I mean, I do. He's an athlete and he makes money for the time being.
He's younger than her, too.
Ugh, really?
Yeah. He's 40, man.
What?
Yeah.
That's younger. Like, he's a year under me, I think. He's like 31.
Google her. I'm pretty sure she's like 39, 40.
I'd put her like 35.
That's
41.
Yeah, man. Ah!
I mean, good for her, but damn it.
Black don't crack. Say it with me.
I mean, for a while.
Black don't crack.
And then it just kind of disintegrates.
That's why, like, she said yes. Why did she eat that S sandwich? You have your answer.
10 years.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
We'll see how long this one lasts.
How dumb is he? 10 years? I don't care if she's blacker than a trillion midnights. That will crack before you.
What, you don't think they're going to have a prenup?
Dude,
he learned from his first marriage, all right?
There's no way this goes the distance. They're just, they're too big a figure. You know what I mean? To be big figures and actually make a marriage work, you have to be weird, hippy-dippy, like Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie. There's some... Have you seen his little viral?
You can't count that as... That doesn't, to me, that doesn't work because he left another woman while he was married.
I'm with you, but I'm just saying, like, lately, every chick on Facebook has been posting this status where it's Brad Pitt and something he wrote, I guess, when his marriage to Angelina Jolie was hitting a rocky point. And he was like, I kind of resigned myself to the fact we were going to get divorced. She was stressed. She was losing weight. And then it dawned on me, I'm with the most desired woman in the world. Every man, every woman wants to bang this broad. So I loved her to the point of madness. You know, all I did was talk about her. I focused on her. And this great thing happened. She came back from the brink. She looks great now. We couldn't be happier. And every girl is putting this up like, Brad Pitt gets it. I'm like, here's the part you didn't get, bitch. He's with Angelina Jolie. He just said, I'm screwing the best there is.
He wasn't exaggerating.
Yeah, what am I going to jump to other than this, like, hot, sexy, crazy bitch?
I mean,
it isn't about you.
He's still going to be able to get some, like, 20-something strange.
He could get whatever.
Late 50s,
there's a
dude
on my Facebook wall, and he was like, Brad Pitt had his 50th last month, I think, or this month. And he was like, hey, ladies. What is it like knowing your dream man's now old? And I'm like, it ain't anything to them. They're like, wow, I can't wait to suck some old balls.
Yeah, remember when Wilt the Stilt got old? He was still just playing it, man.
Yeah.
He was still like, yeah, man, come on. 20,000 and counting. Bring it.
I don't think he comprehends. Like, we do okay. Wilt was probably getting it until he had his weird heart attacked or something, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, what do you think contributed? He was probably still like a little
not
too
enough
active.
Blood
man.
In his heart.
Yeah.
It just eventually seized up.
No, but he was still getting like
like a bad piston.
Dude, being sucks tall. Being tall sucks.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Ron Bennington once said that. He's like, you don't see a lot of really old tall guys.
No.
Or I'm sorry, really tall old guys. It works the other way too.
I'm in that at-risk range, so like I'm just tall enough to like be susceptible to heart problems. So I'm aware. But Wilt didn't care. He just kept getting
plowed his way into an early.
Can you think of a better way for that man to go?
No, that's what he had to contribute at that age. And on that note, even though we didn't discuss much about Dwayne, it just blows my mind. I guess, yeah, at 10 years, she does have to take it on the chin. Between his money, his fame, and 10 years, what's she going to do?
It is funny. What I like before the show is you use the phrase, hey, did you hear D-Wade as a bastard? And I was like, you know, in all the media coverage I've seen, no one's really said it that way. This is just kind of a norm now.
No one just gets biblical about it. I have a friend who like posts all these pictures of a cute little girl, but she had her out of wedlock. And I'm just like, had Instagram existed in the 50s, it would just be like, did you see the latest photo of the bastard?
Never even thought of it that way.
Showing off a bastard to everyone. Why isn't she showing off pictures of the baby's father? Because she's not married to him. Oh, the baby's a bastard. 50s Instagram would have been the best.
While listening to Dick Dale. That's amazing.
This is Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood. Find Papa's Basement on iTunes. Like us, subscribe to us. Leave a positive comment. Also find me on Twitter at Papa's Basement. Howard is at What the F in Heezy. Last but not least, also check us out at pfpod.com, which is Papa's Football Podcast. Look up Papa's Football Podcast or Papa's Basement on iTunes. You'll turn up both of them. Last but not least, thespookiescomic.com, comic I write with my buddy. Happy New Year. It should be the second when you're hearing this. And until next week, we're out.
Happy New Year, y'all.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.